You would turn now to Leviticus chapter 7. Beginning on page 85 in the Pew Bible, Leviticus chapter 7. And if you would turn also to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, reading verses 40 through 45. That is on page 837. Beginning in Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. This is the word of the Lord. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. In Leviticus chapter 7, "This is the law of the guilt offering. It is most holy. In the place where they kill the burnt offering, they shall kill the guilt offering, and its blood shall be thrown against the sides of the altar. And all its fat shall be offered, the fat tail and the fat that covers the entrails, the two kidneys with the fat that is on them at the loins, and the long lobe of the liver that he shall remove with the kidneys. The priest shall burn them on the altar as a food offering to the Lord. It is a guilt offering. Every male among the priests may eat of it. It shall be eaten in a holy place. It is most holy. The guilt offering is just like the sin offering. There is one law for them. The priest who makes atonement with it shall have it. And the priest who offers any man's burnt offering shall have for himself the skin of the burnt offering that he has offered. And every grain offering baked in the oven and all that is prepared on a pan or a griddle shall belong to the priest who offers it. And every grain offering mixed with oil or dry shall be shared equally among all the sons of Aaron. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings that one may offer to the Lord. If he offers it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the thanksgiving sacrifice unleavened loaves mixed with oil, unleavened wafers smeared with oil, and loaves of fine flour well mixed with oil. With the sacrifice of his peace offerings for the thanksgiving, he shall bring his offering with loaves of leavened bread. And from it he shall offer one loaf from each offering as a gift to the Lord. It shall belong to the priest who throws the blood of the peace offerings. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten on the day of his offering. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering is a vow offering or a freewill offering, it shall be eaten on the day that he offers his sacrifice, and on the next day what remains of it shall be eaten. But what remains of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burned up with fire. If any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering is eaten on the third day, he who offers it shall not be accepted, neither shall it be credited to him. It is tainted, and he who eats of it shall bear his iniquity. Flesh that touches any unclean thing shall not be eaten. It shall be burned up with fire. All who are clean may eat flesh, but the person who eats of the flesh of the sacrifice of the Lord's peace offerings, while an uncleanness is on him, that person shall be cut off from his people. And if anyone touches an unclean thing, whether human uncleanness or an unclean beast or any unclean detestable creature, and then eats some flesh from the sacrifice of the Lord's peace offerings, that person shall be cut off from his people." The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, saying, 'You shall eat no fat of ox or sheep or goat, the fat of an animal that dies of itself, and the fat of one that is torn by beasts may be put to any other use, but by no account shall you eat it. For every person who eats of the fat of an animal of which a food offering may be made to the Lord shall be cut off from his people. Moreover, you shall eat no blood whatever, whether of fowl or of animal, in any of your dwelling places. Whoever eats any blood, that person shall be cut off from his people." The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, saying, 'Whoever offers the sacrifice of his peace offerings to the Lord shall bring his offering to the Lord from the sacrifice of his peace offerings. His own hands shall bring the Lord's food offerings. He shall bring the fat with the breast, that the breast may be waved as a wave offering before the Lord. The priest shall burn the fat on the altar, but the breast shall be for Aaron and his sons. And the right thigh you shall give to the priest as a contribution from the sacrifice of your peace offerings. Whoever among the sons of Aaron offers the blood of the peace offerings and the fat shall have the right thigh for a portion. For the breast that is waved and the thigh that is contributed I have taken from the people of Israel out of the sacrifices of their peace offerings and have given them to Aaron the priest and to his sons as a perpetual due from the people of Israel. This is the portion of Aaron and of his sons from the Lord's food offerings from the day they were presented to serve as priests of the Lord. The Lord commanded this to be given them by the people of Israel from the day that he anointed them. It is a perpetual due throughout their generations. This is the law of the burnt offering, of the grain offering, of the sin offering, of the guilt offering, of the ordination offering, and of the peace offering, which the Lord commanded Moses on Mount Sinai on the day that he commanded the people of Israel to bring their offerings to the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai." This is the word of the Lord. Man was created by God. Man was created by God with a hope. The hope to dwell with God forever. Man was created in this hope to dwell with God forever. To enter God's rest. To behold Him face to face. To enjoy communion with Him in a world without end. This hope was lost in Adam. Adam, who rebelled against God, who sinned against God, who transgressed God's will. The hope of entering God's rest, the hope of beholding Him face to face, the hope of dwelling with Him forever, this hope was lost in Adam. But it was regained according to God's promise. A promise proclaimed in Leviticus. "I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul shall not abhor you, and I will walk among you, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people." This hope lost in Adam was given again according to God's promise, a promise fulfilled in Jesus Christ. in Leviticus chapter 7. This hope, the enjoyment of union and communion with God, it is revealed in the priests eating in the tabernacle. The priests were to eat from the sacrifices offered to God, and they were to eat them in a holy place. This food, it sustained the priests. But it was not only for their sustenance. It revealed God's promise to His people. It revealed the hope of all the people, not just the priests, but of all the people, to dwell with God, to commune with God, to eat with God in His presence, in His house, in a holy place. This was not revealed in Leviticus for the first time. We see it in Scripture prior to the tabernacle. We see it in the very beginning of Scripture. We see it in the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden, it was a temple, it was a sanctuary, and Adam, a royal priest, he was to keep it holy. And that garden, it was full of what? It was full of trees. And those trees were good for what? They were good for food. The Garden of Eden, a garden sanctuary. It was a garden full of trees, good for food. And Adam was to eat from those trees in the garden, in that holy place. Adam's eating in the garden, it was a foretaste of his hope to eat with the Lord, to eat at the table of the Lord in glory. Adam's eating in the garden, it was a foretaste of his hope. We see it again at Mount Sinai when the instructions for the tabernacle are given. At Mount Sinai, God descends in glory upon the mountain. And the priests and the elders of the people, they ascend the mountain. They ascend the mountain to behold the Lord and to commune with the Lord. Exodus chapter 24, verses 9 through 11. Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God, and they ate and drank. What was God revealing at Sinai? What was God revealing when He descended upon the mountain in glory, when He invited the chief men of the people to behold Him on the mountain and to eat before Him? God was revealing to them and to all His people the purpose for which He had redeemed them, the purpose for which He had delivered them from slavery, that they might dwell with Him, that they might commune with Him in His house, in the place of His presence. Not on Mount Sinai, not on Mount Zion below, but in His house on Mount Zion above, in His heavenly dwelling place. In Exodus chapter 24, the priests and the elders, they enjoy a foretaste of communion with God in glory. They eat with God at His table. In Scripture, to eat with God at His table, it is perhaps the greatest image given to us of communion with God. To eat with one another is to enjoy fellowship with one another. to eat with one another is to commune with one another. And so what does it mean to commune with God? It is like that, to eat at His table. It is the hope expressed at the conclusion of Psalm 23. The psalmist who has been brought through the shadow of the valley of death. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The earthly tabernacle, patterned after the heavenly tabernacle, it was God's dwelling place in the midst of His people. It was a holy place because God was there. The priests, they shared in the sacrifices offered to God. God gave to them a portion of what had been given to Him. God gave to them a portion of what belonged to Him. God fed them from His table. God's portion was burned on the altar, a food offering to the Lord, its smoke rising to the heavens, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. And from that sacrifice, a portion was given to His servants. A portion was given to the priests. And so the priests, they ate with God in the place of His presence. The priests ate with God in the house of the Lord. It was an expression of the hope in which you were created. It is an expression of the hope in which you have been redeemed. To commune with the Lord, to behold His face, to give Him glory, to enjoy Him forever. This hope is revealed to you in Leviticus chapter 7. The hope of glory. But in Leviticus chapter 7, you are also reminded of what prevents you from enjoying communion with the Lord. Uncleanness. Who is the one who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who is the one who may enter God's house? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. The one who is unclean cannot, may not enjoy communion with God. The one who is unclean may not approach the tabernacle. In fact, he is put outside the camp. And if he does approach the Lord in his uncleanness, if he attempts to commune with the Lord while unclean, what happens? He is cut off from the people of God. He is cast from God's presence. In Leviticus chapter 7, whoever touches what is unclean, he himself becomes unclean. An unclean people cannot dwell with the Lord. An unclean people cannot commune with the Lord. And so how does the one who is unclean become clean? As we have seen in Leviticus and as we will continue to see, he can only become clean through sacrifice, through the shedding of blood, and the washing with water. In Leviticus chapter 7, whoever touches what is unclean, he becomes unclean. But there's something else in Leviticus, if you remember, from chapter 6. In Leviticus chapter 6, verse 18, which we read last Lord's Day. In Leviticus chapter 6, verse 18, we read that whatever touches that which is holy shall become holy. Whatever touches what is unclean becomes unclean. But whatever touches what is holy also becomes holy. And it is this that we must keep in mind as we come to Mark chapter 1, verse 40. Concerning a leper who is unclean, a leper who cannot approach the dwelling place of God, a leper who cannot enjoy communion with God. This leper, he comes to Jesus, he bows before him, and he implores him, "If you will, you can make me clean." And moved with pity, Jesus stretches out his hand and touches him and says, "I will be clean." And immediately the man was made clean. And Jesus says to him, "Show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded." The man who was unclean has become clean. For the man who touched what was holy has become holy. The leper was touched by what was holy, and thus he becomes holy. And so now he is able to approach the dwelling place of God. Now he is able to bring his sacrifice to God. Now he is able to enjoy communion with God. But this great joy that now belongs to the man, it comes at a great cost. For what was unholy to become holy, for what was unclean to become clean, it comes with great cost. For what of Jesus? He touched what was unclean. And so where do we find him at the end of the passage? Do we find him at the temple? Do we find him at God's house? Do we find him bringing sacrifice? Do we find him enjoying communion? No, we find him in desolate places. The man made holy enters God's presence. But Jesus, bearing the man's uncleanness, is cast out. "You are an unclean people. A people with unclean hands. a people with impure hearts. Who among you would dare to ascend God's hill? How can you enter God's dwelling place? How can you sit at his table? How can you behold him face to face? How can you enjoy communion with him? You cannot. Apart from Christ. You cannot apart from Christ. Apart from the Holy One becoming unclean for you. Apart from the Holy One bearing your uncleanness. He was cut off for you. God made him who was without sin to be sin for you. And he bore your sins in his body upon the tree. But the blood and water that poured from his side, by that blood, by that water, you are cleansed, you are washed, you are clean, you are holy. The clean touched the unclean and became unclean. And the unholy have touched the Holy One and become holy. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you, so that you may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. How may you enjoy fellowship with God? How may you enjoy communion with God? Only through Jesus Christ. By faith, you lay hold of him. In your baptism, you are washed. And in the Lord's Supper, you come to him. By faith, you lay hold of him. By faith, you come to the table of the Lord, not on earth, but in heaven. And there you lay hold of Christ, his body and his blood. There you commune with God through Christ. All God's people, feasting with the Lord in a holy place. How true it is Revelation chapter 19, verse 9. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The world ends in a feast. The world to come begins with a supper. A supper at the table of the Lord. You who are unclean, how may you have a place at that table? By coming to Christ, to the Holy One. Bending your knee before Him and imploring Him, Lord, if You will, You can make me clean. And to you, Christ says, I will be clean. Amen. Let us pray.